They say there are five love languages: physical touch, gifts, acts of service, quality time, and words of affirmation. But I think there could be a sixth love language, which is food.
I agree. A lot of my day-to-day actually revolves around food. I'm always thinking about what's going to be the next meal that I eat, where's the next restaurant that I want to try out. But even with that anticipation, when it comes to cooking, it can be daunting.
In this episode, we'll chat about what makes cooking daunting and how we can ease ourselves into the joy of cooking. Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, where we share the underrepresented perspectives that shape our lifelong journey of learning and unlearning. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Tan. Thank you so much for joining us as we search for the right words or inspiration to start important conversations with ourselves and loved ones. Our episodes are released every Sunday, and if you've been listening for a while, we appreciate your support so much. And if you want to get connected with us, don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram at Bamboo and Glass and DM us. So, Sophia, I know that this was an episode idea that I had brought up with you, and this was one that you said that you were looking forward to learning about yourself. I wanted to ask, why was that?
So, surprisingly, I was looking forward to this episode because I didn't have very much to say about this episode, because I wouldn't say I'm someone who enjoys cooking. I do it because I have to. So I was excited for it because I know you've gotten really good at cooking in the last few years, and I've tried your food and tried your dessert, so I wanted to learn from you.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'll admit that even by myself, this episode, preparing for this episode was challenging, and as an overall note, it's a challenge, common challenge across these types of episodes that we've been doing. Like, as much as I've grown to love being in the kitchen, how can I distill that feeling into a process of action-oriented steps that anyone can take and that anyone would be interested in taking? So let's kind of go back and start with our own history of cooking. I'm curious, when did you start cooking and what was the context? Did you grow up around family members or friends cooking? Did you start at a young age?
Yeah, so growing up, I always remembered my mom and my grandma cooking every day. And my first memory of cooking was when I was 7 years old, my mom had injured herself really badly and my dad had to take her to the hospital. So they were both gone. So I was 7 years old, my brother was five. We were at home alone and we had to make dinner. And I still remember the dish that we made. It's just like ground pork and Chinese string beans. I don't really know what it's called in English. And then we wanted to make the meat more tender and we had no idea how to do it. So we took a hammer and
like a tool hammer.
Yeah. Like a hammer nail. So we wrapped up the meat with like plastic wrap and we took the hammer and we just like pounded the meat for like 30 minutes and we thought it would work.
I mean, you know, you had the right concept, just not the right tool for it.
I also don't think my parents definitely don't have any tools dedicated for making meat more tender. We use things like potato starch or something, but we don't use any tools. But that was just a really fun memory. And my mom wanted me to learn how to cook when I was really young because she wanted us to feel like a sense of responsibility around the house. So from a very young age, I was like cooking noodles, cooking rice and everything. So cooking at seven with my brother was actually a very like normal and like not a daunting thing.
I have a very opposite history with cooking. I had always seen my mom. I also had always seen my mom cook every day and always thought that her meals were incredible. But I would go into school and I'd hear about people who knew, like kids who knew how to make eggs or scrambled eggs or fried eggs. And I never had touched the stove. I never touched a pan or anything. And I remember I always really wanted to learn how to cook because it felt like that badge of adulthood or badge of growing up. But my mom was always so scared that I would hurt myself by being near the stove. And so I just never learned how to cook until college, if you can believe that.
Whoa.
The only thing I knew how to make was instant ramen because you just boil water. And even that, my mom was like, hey, you should get an electric kettle that just you just press a button. You don't have to worry about watching it boil. So my mom actually tried to make a lot of things very easy for me, that but unfortunately those wouldn't teach me exactly how to cook and the proper ways to check on water boiling or whatnot. It was more of a personal endeavor for sure. So you have a long years of experience of cooking. What is your favorite dish to cook and why?
It's actually a very simple one, just tomato and egg. It's one that I think a lot of Chinese American kids know how to make. And it's just comfort food. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of different variations. Like, you can make it kind of more spicy, or some people like to make it more sweet. So there's a lot of mm-hmm. ways you can change it up. And I also really love more acidic-y food. So I love tomatoes. Mm. I love tomatoes mm-hmm. and salsa and anything. So
yeah, my dish is also a comfort food. It's kimchi jjigae, kimchi stew, which at this point I've also made countless times. And I always have the basic ingredients in my fridge, which really is just kimchi and some type of protein. Mm. And I personally feel like it's really hard to get wrong because since it's a soup, you can always taste test as you're going along. And so that makes it really easy for people to course correct. Mm-hmm. If they're kind of going a little bit too salty, they can always add more water, etc. And so that it's interesting that both of our favorite dishes are comfort foods.
Mm, yeah. What is your favorite memory of cooking?
I was making kimchi jjigae and I called my mom just because I happened to be in the kitchen, and she was like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm making kimchi jjigae." And she's like, "I'm making kimchi." And so we stayed on the phone the whole time as we were both like cutting up our ingredients, and I was putting it into the pot, and she was putting hers into like a big basin so that she can bulk make kimchi mm. for the months to come. And so that was just kind of silly to be able to do that, because I still don't quite know how to make kimchi. And so watching my mom do it in front of me versus when I was a child, I would always just be in my room since it's such a long, arduous process. Yeah. But to be there while I'm doing my own thing was really, really cool to see.
That's so special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, best cooking memories are also cooking with family, or also I'm in Seattle now and I live near Kevin's family, and so I make a lot of food and get to introduce them to new cuisine. Like, for example, I love Cajun pasta. I just love Cajun, like that combination of spices. And I introduced it to them and they loved it. And it was not really well done. Like, I did a pretty bad job, but they were just so intrigued by the taste. And they asked me to make it again. So that was really fun to see them mm-hmm. so excited about new food. All right, what about cooking fails?
So this technically isn't cooking, it's more baking, but it's funny because it shouldn't even qualify as baking. My biggest cooking fail are cake pops. So you know how with cake pops, it's pretty much just a ball of cake that has maybe frosting in it so that it makes the dough stick a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And then you put some sort of hard shell around that of like candy melts or whatever. Yeah. Every time I make it, I'm very ambitious and I want to make cute little characters out of the cake pops. And every time we do it, it absolutely fails and it looks absolutely disgusting. Mm. And luckily, I remember we gave it to James's cousins to eat, and they were like, "Why does it look like that?" And we're like, "It still tastes good. Like, don't worry about the presentation." And so that one is a funny fail because it's a lot more about the aesthetic aspect. But man, I thought it would be so easy. It was so hard.
Oh yeah, to shape them and keep them in shape. That doesn't sound mm-hmm. easy at all.
They just like start going down the lollipop stick. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, no, that's not really, this should be the easiest thing ever. But maybe that's why there's so many video tutorials to do it.
It's not easy.
Yeah. Do you have a cooking fail?
I think mine is when I get really excited to cook something, but I don't have the ingredients in my fridge. And I just try to like make it happen still. And I Google like how to substitute heavy whipping cream or something. And then I'm looking for the answer that I want and it's not showing up. And I still try to make it happen and it is indeed.
You're brute forcing the solution.
Yeah, but it doesn't work.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of that, I think that kind of leads us into maybe some of our list of reasons as to why cooking may not be enjoyable. I'm curious what your reasons are.
Lots of setup and cleanup. I don't like spending money on small containers of things. I also don't want to buy big containers because it's going to go bad. I also hate reading text recipes, but video recipes are a lot better and more fun to follow. I don't like to spend time chopping. I don't like to touch raw meat. And I also feel like when I meal prep, it saves me time and money, yes, but also I feel like I'm eating the same thing every day. And you gotta eat three times a day, you know? That's like a lot of...
You gotta eat three times a day. Yeah, for sure. Well, honestly, I wouldn't have known about the meal prepping because when you were over here, we got boiling crab and we had a lot of leftovers and we ate that for days. And so I wouldn't have known that you would get so bored so quickly.
That stuff is really good, though. The stuff I make...
That stuff's really good. I see. I feel like I have very similar reasons as well, and I think these are all reasons that a lot of people would resonate with. when I look over at the sink and there's so many dishes from all the cooking endeavors. Also, don't always have the ingredients to make a dish, and that discourages me. Stress over using up the produce in time because it will go bad. Same answer. I don't always have time because cooking can take anywhere from like what? Microwaving something for 2 minutes to a 30-35 minute endeavor. Too much big brain energy sometimes, especially if I'm trying to learn something new, then I'm like constantly looking at that screen, whether it's a text recipe or a video recipe. And then I also get bored with the same meals. So very similar reasons that we have right there. So let's get into some tips that we may have for folks about how to enjoy cooking. I want to preface this because this episode might be a little bit different in that we understand that cooking can feel intimidating and overwhelming alongside not as enjoyable. So we tried to distill this episode to 10 tips. So hopefully if any one of these 10 tips help you, we hope that that can propel you to start your cooking journey. So Sophia, what is our first one?
Yes, our first two tips have to do with shopping and ingredients, and it was inspired by a recent Life Kit episode.
Yes, so planning for this episode was challenging, and then I checked Life Kit. They just released one called Introduction to Korean American Cooking.
Whoa.
Can you believe a more targeted episode for me as I'm planning this episode? So in this episode, they say, build your Korean pantry. Get those like three ingredients and just start there. So kind of taking inspiration from that, what are the holy grail ingredients that you can use for almost anything you want to eat? So obviously there's things like salt, pepper, sugar, but for the foods you crave, what are the common ingredients that you can use?
For me, like I said, it's Trader Joe's Cuban style citrusy garlic seasoning. I throw that on literally everything.
Get that for me as my next birthday present.
Yes.
I'll try it.
Also, hot tip, Trader Joe's seasoning is actually the cheapest compared to all other grocery stores. I've done the comparison because when I moved into my new apartment, I had to get things from scratch, and Trader Joe's for sure won.
I see. Another way that you can look at this question about holy grail ingredients is identifying what cuisines you tend to crave. So for me, it's Korean, mainly because that's what I'm used to eating. And so if it's Korean, you'll likely want things like kimchi, garlic, and gochujang, which is red pepper paste. If it's Thai food, you'll likely want cilantro, lime, fish sauce, and coconut milk. So figuring out what cuisines, and you can go from there of like what common ingredients there are.
That's smart.
And that kind of leads us into our second tip, which is pick a cuisine of the week. So I know you mentioned, Sophia, that you can get very bored with eating the same meal over and over from meal prepping, and that can also be exacerbated if you only know how to cook like a certain number of meals. And so since it can get boring to cook the same things over again, and you also don't want to waste produce, cuisines of food will often use the same slew of ingredients. And so if you want to switch things up for the week, you can make your grocery list based on what common ingredients show up across like 3 to 4 recipes.
That's so smart.
So like, for example, this week I was more in an Italian mood, and so I wanted a lot of like tomato sauce, I wanted some basil, and that can be applied to a lot of different types of pastas or breads and a lot of other dishes that they have. And so that was kind of new for me because I don't usually crave Italian food, but I think I had been eating a lot of Asian cuisines for so long that I was like, I kind of want to switch it up and I want to go for Italian this time.
Nice. And then our next set of tips are all about cooking basics. Do you want to introduce our tip number 3?
Sure. So number 3 is get really good at making just one dish and then treat yourself to a guaranteed win at least once a week. And if you want, you can make a lot of that dish and have guaranteed good leftovers for the rest of the week. So this might not work as well if you are someone who tends to get bored with the same meals over and over again, but maybe you can meal prep some kind of the ingredients. And so whenever you are feeling like you want that, maybe 5 days later, you have those ingredients ready. And for me, I think it's really important to feel that sense of competence over your meal so that you feel empowered to cook again and to be in the kitchen. And it doesn't matter how basic it is. Like, honestly, Sophia, you've probably paid for that $14 avocado toast that you can totally make at home for a fraction of that price. So you got to give yourself a win. Mm-hmm. Like for me personally, my avocado toast where I put Tabasco on it and a yummy sunny side egg up is both pleasing to look at and also really, really yummy. Well, I'm curious what your like winning dish would be. Would it be the tomato and egg dish that you talk about?
I have no idea what it's called. I kind of just made it up for myself. So it's just shrimp with my, you know, classic Trader Joe's Cuban style citrus and garlic seasoning. And I also toss in like black beans, corn, green chilies. And it's just, it's like pretty much dry cooking because shrimp is really easy and really fast. And you can't really get shrimp wrong. And then I just toss in some butter and then all the other like canned corn, canned black beans. And so it's really easy to constantly have these ingredients in my home. And also it's like so flavorful and like it's good with noodles and with rice and with like pita if you want that.
Yeah, and you can like kind of switch out some of the ingredients here and there if you would like. And so that's really nice. I'm gonna have to try that one day when I come over. What is our next tip, Sophia?
Don't get caught up in the measurements, seriously. Like there's that running joke that immigrant parents never measure, just taste it and see where it goes. I think this is a really good tip because a big part of the anxiety of cooking for me is like exactly what you said. Looking at the instructions being like, okay, 1 3/4 of a tablespoon.
That's just And then you're like, annoying. I don't have a quarter tablespoon to measure with. Yeah. How am I going to make sure I get the right measurement?
Like baking soda that really impacts the texture of the food, that you might want to be more precise with that. But for things like salt, like come on. Like You know what salt
tastes like. With that in mind, I think I mentioned earlier that soups, I think, are one of the easiest to improve on because you can keep tasting as you go. And most of the time, soups taste even better on the second day because the flavors have marinated and become richer. So if you are finding yourself getting caught up in measurements, maybe soups would be a good one to go with because you will have a guaranteed win for the second day because it will taste even better.
That is so smart. Cool. All right, tip number 5, don't just watch videos about cooking specific dishes. Also watch videos about cooking techniques. And I think this is really helpful because it makes learning new dishes easier. And one example is something that I learned recently just through some random video on TikTok is like what kinds of meats are better for you to marinate overnight versus what meats and proteins are better to season on the spot. Just with the way that salt draws out the water or, you know, things like that.
Oh,
and I thought
Miss Connoisseur.
And I thought that was a really interesting tip because now that I know that kind of like basic principle of cooking, it's just like a building block that I have in my head and I can just skip that long paragraph if I'm reading a text recipe.
That's really, really great. Speaking of cooking techniques, I took a cooking techniques or like a knife techniques class at Google. And I learned that I was holding my knife all wrong. Ugh. Knives are supposed to be an extension of your arm. So you're actually not just only supposed to hold it by the handle. You also need like to extend your finger to be a little bit onto the blade so that you so that it doesn't flop around. And I was not holding it correctly. And now that makes chopping things so much easier
and
for me.
Safer,
so,
I bet.
And safer. Safer for sure. And tip number 6 is to clean as you go. So we both mentioned that we hate doing the dishes, especially if you're like learning a new recipe. You probably are using a lot of new plates and bowls out and about just to make sure that you know which ingredients are which. And so if you hate cleaning up afterwards, clean up as you go because there's always going to be downtime. You might be waiting for the oil to heat up on the pan. You also might be waiting for the oven to heat up, or you might just be cooking meat and you're waiting to flip it over. And also, if you don't like touching meat, you can use gloves and toss them when you're done.
Something else that we both struggle with is worrying about ingredients going bad. So what do you do to help with that?
That was my biggest struggle when I lived alone because, like you said, it's expensive to buy small containers of things, but then big containers, you run the risk of things going bad. But even the small containers, I find when I lived alone, was still too much for me to eat. And so I would say you should take advantage of your freezer. This may not seem super intuitive, but you can really throw anything and everything in there.
What?
For example, garlic is a big ingredient in Korean cuisine. But I never use that much garlic in my dishes. And so if I were to buy, you know, like a whole slew of cloves of garlic, one, it's so much work to chop up. And then two, it also can go bad because it has like water inside. And if you let it sit for too long, you can start to see things growing. And so I actually usually will buy minced garlic packets and then I just throw that in the freezer. And then when I need it, I just put it in the microwave and it is perfectly fresh and fine. And you can do the same thing for things like green onions, not so much for cilantro, I found, just, and that's kind of been with like me experimenting. But with that, you can kind of see what you can pre-chop, since you mentioned that you actually really hate chopping things and that can take up a lot of time. You can pre-chop things too as like your meal prep and then throw them in the freezer. And then when you need them, just take them out and then put them in the microwave.
That is so clever. I had no idea your freezer could be used for this. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just for desserts, guys. We have some extra incentives for y'all. So if you've been listening and you're kind of like, okay, these are maybe good tips, but I've tried them, still not enjoying my time in the kitchen. What is tip number 8, Sophia?
Turn cooking into a group activity. So you may go out to eat with your friends, and a way to extend that time is by including meal prep and cooking time in the process of hanging out. And this is great because it's more cost effective, and also it's really bonding because you're not just like sitting across from each other like talking. There's kind of like that downtime when you're just like being in each other's presence and you don't have to talk, but you're still doing something together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, one of my favorite memories from cooking is actually dumpling making parties. Yes. It feels really accessible, even to a child or a teenager. And I remember it offering me that bit of agency and making me feel like I was capable and unstoppable in the kitchen, even if I'm not necessarily like putting things directly like on the stove. Yeah. And so that's always a really, really great activity. And there are so many other dishes that could probably use like the extra help too.
I love that because it's so lonely to cook by yourself, and mm-hmm. it's just like so many wins in cooking together. Like, it's less lonely and it's faster and it's fun and there's a lot of memories and yeah.
And especially if you have friends who maybe like are also like less experienced in the kitchen, they probably wouldn't have a problem with just chopping things. They probably would be like, oh, if there's anything that I can do, even if it's just chopping up green onions, like I'm happy to do that. And that actually cuts down so much of your time. And speaking of which, that leads us to number 9, which is let's normalize asking for help, even with something as menial as cooking. So for me, what liberated me most of all is realizing that there is no correct way to cook. Like, yes, people go to culinary school to learn the craft, but when it's just for your own appetite and stomach, I don't think it really needs to matter as much. And you can enjoy the process of taking tips and tricks from friends, family members, and be like, oh, like, for the same dish, like my mom does it this way, but Sophia actually does it this way. Let me try both ways. And I think even just asking for help in that way can build up your arsenal of that, of the techniques and the tips and tricks that you have in the kitchen that you can return to later. The only main safety things that I would say you should look out for, where, and this is where Google can also be your best friend, so don't be afraid to type it into Google, is how to know when produce and meat are going bad and how long meat is needed to cook for. But otherwise, all the rules are out the window for me.
Yeah. All right. Tip number 10 is eat with your eyes. It's totally okay and in fact celebrated to take the time, make your food just look beautiful. I found that sometimes cooking and making and taking that extra minute to make it look nice so I can take a picture and share it with my friends, it's motivation, right? I want to make it look nice and kind of feel proud to get to share it with my friends and receive some compliments from them.
Yeah, this is a really similar tip to what we talked about in episode 174, which is about how to document memories, not just for Instagram. There's nothing wrong with liking aesthetics, especially if it reinforces that positive feedback loop of turning to the photo or the recipe or the food at a later time. So be that food blogger, Instagrammer for your own meal and celebrate the hard work that you put in.
Yay! Tan, I'm curious, after all this discussion, what is a dish that you would be really excited to make?
Well, now I gotta go check out Trader Joe's and get those seasonings that you talked about. Because I actually don't use a lot of pre-made seasonings like that. And so that is something that can be an easier access point for me into new cuisines, I think. So I think your tip is really, really great for me to hear.
Yeah, I love pre-made seasoning packets because you don't have to think about getting each individual thing and having it just sit on your counter. One really easy way I use that seasoning is you can put it on, it's really good on chicken. It's also really good on chickpeas. So if you like hummus, you can just get a can of chickpeas. I think it's also called garbanzo beans. And then you can just take that, drain it, dump in the chickpeas, and then pour in the sauce, and that's it. And it's so delicious.
Ooh, okay, I gotta go try that. Out of our tips, which one was the biggest learning for you?
Tip number 2 of pick a cuisine a week was so smart because I think that solves so many problems. You reduce your food waste, you reduce the time cooking because it's kind of the same principles and rules for mixing things together, and you get to have a variety of food. So mm-hmm. that's a great one. I also love Thai food, so I'm going to see if I can make some like Thai soup or
yes,
rice or something.
Definitely send me a photo with a nice presentation yes. once you have it. Well, listeners, I hope you took something away from the 10 tips that we gave around enjoying cooking. It is something that is so day-to-day for all of us, but it's something that a lot of people can still struggle with. I definitely had my lows and lulls in cooking, and now I'm really happy that I get to enjoy my time in the kitchen. And so I hope that this encourages some of that dopamine kick for when you're in the kitchen. After you listen to this episode, if you're interested in hearing similar topics, I would recommend listening to episode 104, which is making duck with a Korean sieve that crossed the Pacific Ocean for me, which is our catch-up episode with Nahe Chun. This is actually our only food-specific episode, which I was kind of surprised by because so much of immigrant stories revolve around food. So I think we gotta get some more food content on Bamboo and Glass at some point.
Yes, another one is episode 174, How to Document Memories, Not Just for Instagram. Food is one of those things where I love taking pictures of the dishes that I've made to feel proud of myself and to look back on all the cool things I've made and give me a boost of inspiration to be like, hey, you've made this in the past, like keep going, try new things.
Definitely. And we referenced NPR's Life Kits episode, Introduction to Korean American Cooking, so we'll also link that in the description below. Sophia, if people are excited about our content and are curious about how to support us, what are some ideas for them?
Yes, we would love to hear from you. Please DM us on Instagram at Bamboo and Glass. Please share any of our episodes with your friends and family and loved ones. Tell them we're on every podcasting platform, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, literally everywhere. You could also treat us to a coffee or boba or some food ingredients. Anyways, just treat us to something fun through Buy Me a Coffee. It's a really easy to use site that we've linked below. And if you want to meet us in person and bring us to your organization or school, we would be so excited to meet you in person. We've really enjoyed all the events that we've done with schools and org. So DM us on Instagram at bambooandglass or email us at bambooandglass@gmail.com and we'll get that conversation started.
Thank you so much, everyone. And with that, we'll talk to you next Sunday. Bye.